DemocracyNow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Uzbek, Sam Riddell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, David Brood, and Vesta Godars. Kieran Krug Meadows, Jose Miranda are our camera folks. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez, our website, democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us. Now I hear people say I'm strong, but I didn't always. Friday, April 10, 6 p.m. Join us on Bread and Roses for a roundtable of autistic women advocates. They will be talking about Autism Acceptance Month in April, why awareness without acceptance is not enough, and how they work to advance disability rights, centered on the access, needs, and opportunities for autistic people like themselves, despite harmful stereotypes and problematic media representations. Expect some strong opinions about vaccines, Abed from Community, and BBC's Sherlock. Join us Friday, April 10, 6 p.m.
KBOO is proud to present a live broadcast of the Inner City Blues Festival, a benefit for Healthcare for All Oregon from the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter at North Lombard in Portland. Saturday, April 11th from 6 p.m. to midnight, hear live performances from such local blues and R&B luminaries as LaRonda Steele, Norman Sylvester Band, and many more. Again, that's the Inner City Blues Festival live broadcast and show on Saturday, April 11th from 6 p.m. to midnight. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 6th Annual Sold Out Music Festival, April 14th to the 20th. This year's festival has significant focus on Portland, Northwest, and West Coast artists throughout the lineup, as well as headliners Charles Bradley, Kimbra, Yassine Bey, both solo and singing for Bad Brains, and many more. This year's festival takes place in 11 venues across Portland. Again, that's the 6th Annual Sold Out Music Festival, April 14th through the 20th, in 11 venues across Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today's guest is Jean McMaster, Executive Director of Human Solutions, in to talk about the extension of winter shelter for houseless people. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Volunteers of America, Oregon, presenting a symposium on diversity, equity, and economic sustainability May 8th at the Childs Center. Keynote speaker Stedman Graham. Tickets and information at volunteersofamerica.org.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am Joanne Hardesty. It is my pleasure to have here in the studio Jean DeMasters. She is the Executive Director of Human Solutions, and she's been there for 12 years. But she has been a long, long, long time community activist around housing. And for those of you who may not know, Human Solutions has the responsibility of providing temporary and permanent housing for houseless families in East Portland and Gresham. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
It is a pleasure to have you here. And I know that you're resume is so much longer, but of course I don't have it here with me. But one thing I wanted people to know is that in 2013, you were honored as Portland's first citizen by the Portland Association of Metropolitan Realtors. And so as a nonprofit housing advocate, to have that honor was pretty phenomenal.
I was very pleased because I think it's kind of an extension of the Portland Metropolitan Realtors are getting houses, getting homes for people, and we're serving people that don't have homes and are desperate to get into housing. And so I think it's an acknowledgement of our work being part of their work.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And so for the listening audience, tell us a little bit more about Human Solutions.
Human Solutions was founded 26 years ago to provide services to people in East Portland and East Multnomah County. We serve both low-income and homeless families and individuals, and our goal is to help families and individuals become self-sufficient. And we do that with a very wide variety of programs. We touch the lives of over 85,000 people a year, and our programs range from preventing homelessness to helping people overcome homelessness if they are homeless, to job development and energy assistance, and then we build affordable housing.
And so tell people, I mean, how many units of affordable housing do we have in East Portland and Gresham area under Human Solutions umbrella?
Human Solutions has 701 units of affordable housing, and almost all of our units, in fact, all of our units are for people that are at 50% of median income or below.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to join a conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. I know that temporary shelter for houseless families, especially in the really cold months, is always an issue here in Oregon, and especially so now. We see the numbers going up of people who, for whatever reason, find themselves without stable living situations. But this year, something different happened, because normally it's like for the coldest months, and then the shelters close down.
This year, the shelter is going to stay open all the way through the end of the school year to ensure that homeless children can get to school and finish out the school year. It also means that their parents have a much better chance at finding housing and finding employment. We have a contract with Multnomah County for winter shelter, but that contract runs out March 31st. And then a local business, Dennis's 7D's Landscaping, stepped forward and said they would pay for the month of April so that families could have a safe place to stay during April. And then the county, as part of a new initiative, a home for everyone it's called, as part of this new initiative, decided that they would extend the shelter through the end of the school year, in particular to make sure that homeless children don't fall behind their peers in school.
And it just sounds like such a no-brainer, right? When you think, okay, here are kids and their families, and they are suffering some economic challenges. They don't have permanent housing. And so right in the middle of the school year, it seems like all of a sudden we're like, okay, thank you, you're done. So I just love this. I just think that this is a good first step and actually acknowledging all the supports that are necessary for a houseless family.
Right. We've operated this winter shelter for the last 6 years, and this is the first year that we've been able to stay open throughout the whole school year. Other than that, we usually close in March or in part of April, just because we don't have any funds to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a bit about that. We have a caller on the line. If you'd like to join the conversation, I'm talking to Jean Damastis, who's the Executive Director of Human Solutions. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hello. I got poor health and don't use computers, Jean. And I came to Portland, not that anybody cares, in the late 80s alone, and almost landed in, homeless. And I found out about transition projects and Sisters of the Road. And after I landed up in a new veterans, I forget what they call them, in Vancouver, as a second female in there. Not a good experience. But anyway, I got a problem now. And I know what the focus is on Joanne's program. Is there a support group in Portland area for parents of adult children with disabilities? My child has threatened her child, who's now in her early 20s, sending her into a mental hospital if she doesn't stop her stuff. And you know, I know that's very dangerous and unhealthy, but anyway, I got off the phone. I know what your focus is, but I'm reaching out, and I'll hang up.
Appreciate you reaching out today, Joanne. As she was talking, I was thinking about the luncheon I was at yesterday, which is with NAMI, the National Association of the Mentally Ill, which is actually family members and friends of people with mental health issues that come together, and they were planning for their walk. But I think Joanne was asking you, is there someone that you think she should connect to?
Yeah, I think NAMI is one group. There are support groups for parents with adult children with disabilities. Arch Nehalem is another group. It's a small group, a parents group. I would start by calling Multnomah County. They have an aging and disability services division that has a very good information referral line. So I would advise the caller to call there first, Multnomah County Aging and Disability Services, and ask for the phone numbers for the support groups. On the other hand, I have a friend who has an adult child with a disability, and she is desperately trying to find housing for her adult child and is having a very difficult time, even though she is aware of all the support groups and services. There just aren't enough services for a wide variety of people that are in need and are very vulnerable in their lives.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful. And the information line at the City of Portland is 503-823-4000. And I think that's right. I will double check that. I think that's right. And so if you call that number, they'll give you the phone number directly for Aging and Disability Services. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And so You've been at Human Solutions for 12 years. Have you seen a change in homeless families from the time you started to today? And if so, what change have you seen?
We're seeing quite a number of changes. One is just plain an increase in the number of homeless families. 12 years ago, we certainly had numbers of families coming to us for help, but not as many. So we're seeing more homeless families. We're seeing the percentage of domestic violence grow, and I'm not sure if that's just more of an awareness of domestic violence and people are more willing to admit that they are survivors of domestic violence. But we're seeing a larger number of people talk about domestic violence as the reason for their homelessness. And then just because of the economic downturn, I know it was a number of years ago, but still we're seeing the fallout from that of parents who are working and still cannot earn enough money to pay for housing, food, and clothing for their children. So we're seeing more two-parent families where one parent is working and the other is trying to find work, and more single-parent families where the single parent is working but just can't earn enough money to pay for the cost of the household.
And one of the other issues around that may be just the high cost of housing today in the Portland metropolitan area.
There really are two issues with the cost of housing instead of a supply and demand issue. The amount of low housing available to low-income people is growing more and more scarce as the number of people looking for and needing low-income housing is increasing. And so with the demand for it going up, the supply of it seems to be going down as landlords are raising the rent. And so for low-income families looking for housing, there are fewer units that they can afford. For example, we have not raised the rent, but in our 701 units, we have a 1% vacancy rate, which means that only 1% of our units are vacant at any time. And usually those are just being cleaned for the next family to be able to move in. So it's very hard for families to be able to find a unit, even if they have a housing voucher or if that one of the parents is working. They'll have the money to pay for housing, but they literally cannot find a landlord who has an available unit to rent to them.
And so one of the things I really love about Human Solutions is you're focused on the immediate, which is how to get people shelter, but that's not where the services ends, because it's really about figuring out kind of where the family is, what the needs of the family are to stabilize them long term. Whereas, you know, and there's nothing wrong, but there like some short-term shelters is really just there to provide a bed for the night. But you're looking at it more systemically about what is it going to take to make these families whole and to help them, right, stabilize. So would you talk a little bit about the supportive services that actually are wrapped around providing housing?
Yes. On any night, we, Human Solutions, serves about 400 homeless families, which is about 1,200 homeless people. The 400 families, about 30 of them are in our shelter or transitional housing programs, and all the others are in a program called Housing First, which means that the family has moved into an apartment, and we're paying a substantial portion of the rent for that apartment with rent assistance funds that we get from Home Forward and Multnomah County in the city of Portland. So we help pay the rent while the family gets stable and the parents find employment. But most of the families we're serving are in apartments because it's just too hard for children to go to school and parents to look for employment or go to job training if they're living in a shelter and have to keep moving and having the instability of a shelter. So we really believe housing first, and then as soon as the family is in housing, to provide an advocate to the family so that they can decide what are their next steps and the advocate can get the resources to help them accomplish those goals.
I'm talking to Jean DeMaster. She's the executive director of Human Solutions. What would surprise most people about Human Solutions and the services that Human Solutions provides?
I think the biggest surprise, or apparently maybe disappointment to us, is even though we have 701 housing units, those housing units are financed with low-income housing tax credits or other government subsidies, which means that we have to charge a rent that's between 30% and 60% of median family income. And the homeless families that we serve, their income isn't 30% of median family income. Many times their income is zero. They have no income when they come to the shelter. Or even if the family is able to still be receiving welfare, welfare is at about 10% of median family income. So we build affordable housing and try and keep the rents as low as possible. But even at that, a homeless family cannot afford rent at 30% of median.
That's an excellent point. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Jean, there's an event coming up this Saturday that actually really highlights Human Solutions work and actually helps provide resources to actually continue the work. You want to talk a bit about that?
Right. This is an event that we have at the Melody Ballroom. It's a gala calling Soar with us. It's an auction and a dinner and a dance after that. And it's a fundraising event both for our programs to serve homeless families and for our programs to help families get into employment that is not just minimum wage or less than minimum wage if the hours are so low, but really helps families get into family wage jobs. So we are trying to raise money so that we can support families in becoming self-sufficient rather than having to just take the first job available if that job won't provide them enough money to live on.
And would you talk a little bit about the safety net programs that Human Solutions provides? Because you're kind of like the would you talk a bit about the safety net programs?
For us, clearly the shelter is the first safety net program. This is a family shelter. We have a year-round shelter that is small, but then we run a winter shelter that we talked about a little bit earlier. But that's a safety net in that any homeless family can come to the shelter and will be taken into the shelter. We never turn people away. We always find a place for them. If we have to open an overflow shelter on any particular night, we do to make sure that every single family who might be outside or in their car in an abandoned building has a safe place to stay for the night. We also offer energy assistance programs because many families, due to the high cost of utilities, have had their utilities turned off or are about to have their utilities turned off. So we provide energy assistance programs to keep people's utilities on. Many landlords are now requiring that the utilities be turned on as a condition of the rent. And so if people get their utilities turned off, not only do they not have light and heat, but they're subject to being evicted at the same time. So we want to make sure that as many families as we can help have their utilities turned on. And then we provide eviction prevention programs for families that are still in their apartments but are at high risk of being evicted.
And Jean, would you tell us what is the median income? We use that term, but I don't think most of the general public has a clue. How much income are we talking?
At 30% of median, that's the kind of the average amount of income for the clients that we serve. 30% of median is the average, and many clients are quite a bit below that. But 30% is about $21,000 a year for a family of four.
Thank you. I think that's really helpful for people to kind of wrap their head around, because we throw that term around, right? And it's kind of the federal poverty line, which is like really, really, really hasn't been reset in like a bazillion years.
That's right.
We've got callers on the line. Hello, Bob. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hi. How are you? And I think we need more trade schools, and this would really help us. Trade schools would help people. Like myself, of course, I went to the university, but after, so it was easier in my day. Mm-hmm. It's not easy now because, and I'd like to ask a question, do you get funding from the state or the federal government at all?
Human Solutions, like many agencies that serve the homeless, our funding comes, for us, it comes from Multnomah County, but they get their funding from the state of Oregon, and the state gets its funding for the federal programs from the federal government. So, yes, but not directly.
Yeah. And one of the problems is it gets so complicated. And the average person, when you're down and out, I mean, you know, I have to get homeless. I mean, have to find shelter, I should say,
right,
and are homeless. It's very difficult, and I'm a senior, and I live off Social Security. But the main thing is, the question is, and it's the main issue, is not to make things so complicated. It's to simplify it. And I've traveled around in countries that use more of a social system like Canada and British, and lived in Bethel Park, and Bethel Park, can't pronounce it right, in England. And I learned that they really spread it around by looking at issues more. I'm sure now they probably have a lot more paperwork. But the idea is to keep hiring people to do paperwork when you really need to do is make jobs.
Yes.
And that would be in training programs. And for us to open up for our workers not to be separated, you know, like me, unfortunately I have a university degree, but I don't believe in separating people. I believe in college. And so that you can work. And people need, we all need to have something we like electrician in my, or building arts, or auto repair, or airplane work. I worked in all of these things. Aircraft was interesting. Mm. But I don't want to work, and I don't emphasize to work in issues that don't make the person feel good. If the person feels angry and upset by the type of job they do, and I like culinary work, you know, eating, that's a really good way to go. So if we could have good meals, then we could get more culinary and more places so that you can integrate that with your housing, culinary, and we have kitchens there where people can eat. And, you know, I lived in Canada and England, where I'm from here, but I saw how it is where they don't have huge number really poor, because people spread and they're happy. Out the people give back. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call today.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have a fabulous day.
And you too. Have a fabulous.
Thank you. So the gentleman is right. I mean, clearly we've got models in other parts of the world of systems that actually provide people with some basic income and some basic employment opportunities so that everybody has those opportunities. We don't have that here.
We don't have that here. I think the closest for us is that we use the community college system to help people go back to school. First of all, identify a field that they want to go into. Mm-hmm. I think that the caller is correct that people need to like what they're doing. If they're going to stay in a job field long term and advance in that field, they need to like what they're doing. And so we try and help people look at what they have a good aptitude for, how we can assist them through Portland Community College or Mount Hood Community College or the Caregiver Institute or any of the training programs to get the additional training they need to actually be able to enter the job market at a living wage for their families.
And so it sounds like Human Solutions has some really deep community relations, some really solid support from Multnomah County. It was wonderful seeing Jules Bailey at the press event about the extension of the shelter. But clearly, the need is much more significant than one organization is able to provide for. Are there plans to address like these really core issues, the unlivability in the city of Portland, the fact that affordable housing is just not that affordable anymore, and our definition of affordable housing I don't think is very clear, and when we talk about reducing the responsibility, the city of Portland has reduced its responsibility for actually building affordable housing units, right? Because we have all these urban renewal areas that had a commitment about affordable housing, but that seems to be diminishing. And so rather than, I think, getting more resources, it looks like the resources are diminishing for this issue.
I think on the issue of homelessness, Multnomah County, Jules Bailey has led the way with the chair, Deborah Kafori, in terms of starting a new organization that brings together Multnomah County, the City of Portland, and the City of Gresham, as well as the Housing Authority and some of the larger foundations. And the group is called A Home for Everyone. Mm-hmm. And that group has brought together about between 50 and 100 advocates to say, what would it really take if we wanted to end homelessness? And the group is advocating for about $10 million a year, primarily to build more affordable housing for single people, for families, for survivors of domestic violence, for other groups who are homeless, as well as get people into employment. I think this is the first time we've seen that it isn't just saying housing is the sole answer, but it's really housing along with employment that's going to be a long-term answer to this. But the price tag is very high. When we have to talk about building affordable housing, we're talking about a number that is in the $10 million a year, and that is a figure that we're going to need to do for about 5 years until we get enough housing built for low-income people that we don't have the scarcity that drives up the rents as we do now.
One of the things that's breaking my heart right now is there are an awful lot of elderly people who are homeless. I see them on the freeway overpass. I see them standing on the street corner. I see them in my neighborhood in East Portland. And it breaks your heart to see people who I believe are in their 70s and 80s on the street trying to get people to give them some money. I mean, that's a population that we don't really talk about when we talk about homeless families or homeless individuals, but just my own observations, I've seen a significant increase in the last couple of years of that demographic group. Is anybody looking at that demographic group?
I think there's two different groups that are looking at that. The Northwest Pilot Project focuses on seniors and people with disabilities to try and find people housing. They have found housing for people in downtown Portland over the years, but especially in downtown Portland, the area that they serve, the amount of affordable housing is shrinking rapidly.
Yes.
And for seniors, we are trying to build more housing. Human Solutions, in partnership with Reach Community Development, has just finished a housing development that is 67 units for workforce housing, people just entering the workforce, and 60 units of housing for seniors. But we need to have more housing for seniors and ensure that the rent for those units is enough that a person with only Social Security can pay about 30% of their Social Security check in rent and have the rest available for food and for medicines and other things that they need. Multnomah County, again, has aging and disability regional centers throughout Multnomah County, and those regional centers also assist people in finding affordable housing, but there isn't any. There isn't enough. And right. So you could have someone looking for housing, but if it isn't there, right. It's going to take a very long time until something opens up and that senior happens to be at the right place at the right time.
Thank you so much for that. We've got several callers on the line. We're going to go back to the phone. If you want to join the conversation, I'm talking with Jean DeMasters. She's the Executive Director of Human Solutions. I'm sorry, who's on the line? Hello, Mike. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, how you doing, Joanne?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. First of all, you know, I've been up to Seattle in the summertime, and I did not see anybody sleeping on the street up there in downtown Seattle.
Hmm.
And yet, conversely, when I come back here to Portland, I see people sleeping everywhere on the street in downtown Portland. So I think that Seattle have a better situation up there for homeless people in Oregonians. I mean, the fact that they've been offering $15 minimum wage up there to try to deal with some of that economic disparity. Mm-hmm. Also, too, as a black man, I don't have very much hope for aging and disability. And I think that black males, since black males are in the endangered species category, most black men ain't going to live to be old age to benefit from aging and disability. And that's a harsh reality. So aging and disability then is going to probably be for females and white males in that category, but very little opportunity for the black male as the way things exist in society today. Last but least, when you talk about homelessness, you can't only look at economics, you got to look at culture. Because I think that the vast majority of people that are homeless are white. Not because white has a greater number of population. I just think in that culture, in the black culture, black people don't tend to put their families on the street or in institutions. They tend to let them live there. So you got to look at that dynamics too. So when you talk about homelessness, I don't know any black people. Very few do I know that are homeless. So I just wanted to throw that mix on the table. I wish we could be talking about black men getting shot in America today, but I know you guys are trying to find housing for people, so I can appreciate that. You have a good day.
Well, thank you for your call, Michael. I hope you stay tuned because I want to dispel that myth that black folks are not homeless, because there are quite a few that are homeless here. And so data-wise, you serve a very diverse population, Jean, at Human Solutions.
We do. About 45% of the people that we serve at Human Solutions are people of color. In the shelter population, about 58% are people of color. And Human Solutions tries to match the number of people of color on our staff and on our board to the number of people in the population that we serve. We do serve, among our staff people, we speak 9 different languages. And so we try and ensure that we can provide the most culturally responsive services that we possibly can. But we do have a high number of people of color that we are providing services to, especially in the shelter. I think it's very clear that there's a direct link between poverty and race. And so because poverty. A number of people of color are disproportionately represented in the poverty statistics. They then are also disproportionately highly represented in the number of people who are homeless. But I do want to just say, if you look at the state of Washington, this tax structure in the state of Washington facilitates Washington having more money to assist its vulnerable populations. First of all, it has a sales tax, so it does have the income from the sales tax. But also in the state of Washington, there's a tax levy that's specifically for affordable housing, and that provides revenue to help the state of Washington build more affordable housing for homeless families. And so because Oregon does not have a levy for affordable housing or a sales tax, we really are at a disadvantage here in terms of using tax dollars, local tax dollars, to solve the problem of homelessness.
I can't help but mentioning, and I'm sure you've heard this, that the city of Portland has $60 million more in income this year. And at the same time, we have homeless family populations growing by leaps and bounds. I hope that as this a home for everyone continues to work, that they will develop a strategy of how to tap into some of that one-time funding and then leverage that for funding for years to come. Fingers and toes crossed. We have another caller on the line. Hello, Phoenix. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How about you?
Woke up breathing and I'm talking to you. Something went right.
Hey, you know, knock on wood. Could be worse.
This can be true. pardon. There were two things that I wanted to comment on. A gentleman prior talked about the Canadian and European programs for homeless. Mm-hmm. They use, as you just suggested, taxation. Mm-hmm. And that runs in the brunt of the middle class and the, quote, upper class. Some people are like, well, homeless are, they do it by choice. And that's not true. A lot of them, there are a handful of people that choose to be out. I came from a situation where the first 2 to 3 years of my children's lives, we were homeless. And I remember being in the middle of the night, just crying my eyes out, going, holy expletive. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, where? How am I going to keep my kids warm? How am I going to get them to school? How am I going to make sure that they realize that, you know, this is not just another adventure? But programs like this, this was in California. There are programs like what she's offering that helped me tremendously. They helped me with childcare. They helped me with school. They helped me find a place and get on my feet. Mm-hmm. And it was tremendous. What my main concern is, and that's why I called in, is do they have fail-safes and programs for people who are abusing it? It makes me heartsick to see single moms. I know a single mom that's struggling right now. In fact, I know several. I know people that are seniors that are struggling. And then I've met people that are gloating at the fact that, you know, they're playing the system. How can we as a community work and change the mindset of the people that are abusing the system to work for, you know, possibly making it aware, people aware that we can levy a tax that does not burden the people that are trying to get on their feet or those that are in the gray areas. Mm-hmm. And also work with the fact that, you know, we're working on it. We made it. We're struggling, but we're here. Those are the people that are in the street. We can come up, reach out, and say, you can do it too.
Thank you very much for your call. I will give Jean the opportunity to respond.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye.
I mean, I would hope that we would say 100% of the people that come for services are in need of services and are not trying to abuse the system. But I know that there is a small percentage of people that do try and abuse the system. I think that percentage is small. I know for clear fact that if a family is homeless, as you're describing, the caller is describing, it is so difficult on the parents to watch their children be in that kind of a traumatic situation where they're not sure where they're going to sleep, they're not sure if they're going to have enough food, that no parent puts their child in that situation any longer than they absolutely have to get out and get a new start. So I think that in the shelter system, we're very clear that we have people that have no other alternative but to be in the shelter. I'm hopeful that because we have family advocates assisting the other families that we're serving, that the family advocates are clear in helping families who want to become self-sufficient, want to be able to get the job skills, to be able to support themselves and their families, that those families move ahead. And if somebody is not willing to do that, then we don't keep providing services to them. But our experience is, particularly with parents and with children, that we don't see very many that we think are just using the system. We really see most parents wanting to become self-sufficient and clearly wanting a better life for their child.
I'm talking to Jean DeMasters, Executive Director of Human Solutions, and we're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Harry. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, the previous caller mentioned the homeless population in Seattle, and one of the reasons why the homeless population in Seattle is down is they have 8 tent cities around the Seattle area.
Yes.
And here in Portland, I think we have one, maybe two.
Two.
Yeah. So I was hoping, is there any suggestion for Human Solutions of maybe opening a tent city?
Well, I think Jean's going to agree with what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to jump in and say, I think people need roofs over their head. I think people need a door. I mean, tent cities are a temporary solution to a permanent problem. And so for me, I would much rather see tiny homes popping up than tent cities popping up, for example. Jane, what?
Yeah, I would agree. And even right now, we're seeing adults in the tent cities. Sometimes we see couples without children. But I think it is very difficult to have children in that kind of a tent city situation. Homelessness is very traumatic for children. And the more quickly we can get them out of that situation and into a place that is an apartment of their own where they can feel really safe and secure, they can be protected by their parents. We want to move children into a safe situation. I would totally agree that right now, having tent cities, we have to. Right to Dream 2 and Dignity Village are important parts of resolving homelessness, but they're temporary solutions. People need to have an apartment that they can call their own, not a tent city. That's the ultimate goal.
And, you know, and the other thing is I think that we don't think creative enough, right? We keep using the same tools for the problem that we were using 30 years ago. The problem is that the problem is much more significant now. It has much more many different, like, links to it. So it's, like, not just a housing problem, but it's all the things that connect to people being houseless. But we yet are still in this very narrow thinking of how we fix that. And so I'm hoping that we start getting creative. I'd love to see us building multi-generational apartment complexes with shared kitchen facilities, shared community rooms where, you know, families are eating together. I mean, there's just so many things we could do that doesn't even come up in the conversation. So I hope that we're on the verge with this new committee of thinking big, thinking broad, and thinking about how we actually create housing that supports people working, going to school, etc. Thank you for your call. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello. Harvey. Hi, Harvey. How are you? Welcome to KBOO.
Very good. Thank you. Great show today.
Thank you.
I believe we have our priorities mixed up. I'm looking at a, says here, taxpayers currently subsidize the oil industry by as much as $4.8 billion a year. That was from 2014. So we're giving money, we're giving free money to the billions of dollars to the tax, to the oil industry. And I say dignity for all. Dignity for all. I'm calling for homeless shelters and spa. Homeless shelter and
I
spa.
I like it.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, a spa day, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, get cleaned up and and the money
feel
is well
good.
Spent. There'll be less crime, less cost to police. Jobs programs will come up. People's dignity comes back. People start taking care of each other.
Yes.
We're just doing, we're spending our money on the wrong thing, and I'm calling for a reorientation of our money and put it back into America, put it back in for Americans and our hard work and money. So instead of giving it to the oil companies, so homeless shelter and spa, let's do it right.
Let's do it right. So I got one for you. You know, the oil companies are so abstract. Remember your former governor called a special session to give Nike a 30-year tax break? And we know how desperate Nike was for that tax break, right? So so I like to keep it at home, right? So it's like we can talk philosophically, but that happened right here in Oregon. And there was barely a peep from both legislators and the rest of the general public. So, you know, we can talk about oil companies, but let's make sure we're holding our local politicians accountable for how they give away our tax dollars. So thanks.
Feed Americans first.
I have to say I am a little offended by the term feed Americans first, because what's a pure American?
You're right.
Right.
You're right. But, you know, in 2014, I believe America exported, I forget the number, but it was, I think, over $100 billion in agricultural exports and foods. And meanwhile, they're lining up here at food kitchens.
Something's wrong with that. Yes. Thank you so much for your call. And thank you for thinking outside of the box. That's exactly what we need.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye. We have another caller on the line. Hello, Linda. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. I am 65 now, and I'm going to work as long as I possibly can, because the reality of it is that, you know, for whatever choices I've made in my life and for whatever's happened to me, when I'm no longer working, all I'm going to have is $1,000 worth of Social Security. And
yes.
I have no children. I forgot to have children. So I have no help. So, you know, I don't know how I'm going to survive on $1,000. And I've recently come back to the Northwest from Arizona, where I thought I would have a cheaper cost of living, and I really didn't, and I came back. And Portland rents are so high that I rented in Vancouver. Because they have gotten so high, and I've been told that it's because of all the high tech that's moved in. Well, if we're being that prosperous with the high tech, I think we need to be able to take care of some folks, too.
Well,
and I don't know what I'm going to do. And can I get on a waiting list for affordable housing while I'm still working? Or, you know, because when I'm down to $1,000, I sure can't afford my rent.
And you don't want to start looking then.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do. The other thing that I want to say about the difference between Washington and Oregon, and I could be wrong, but I think in Oregon there's all kinds of residency, and you have to be a resident for so long before you can get this or that or the other thing. And I believe in Washington, I had checked it out for somebody, as soon as you move there, you're eligible for services. And that would make a difference, rather than trying to keep you off, you know, what you need. They, you know, as soon as you move there, especially if you're elderly, you're eligible. But, you know, and I've worked all my life, and I'm going to work as long as I can, but, you know, and I'm healthy, but realistically, you know, I'm not going to be able to work past 70.
Right.
I don't know.
And would you want to, right?
Yeah, would I want to? And with all the technology, I'm having a hard time keeping up with the technology that the younger people have, and I'm having to do that, but they grew up with it.
Yes.
And to me, it feels like they changed the language and they forgot to tell me. And so
you know,
I'm constantly trying to catch up.
Can I just say thank you for calling, number one. Number two, thank you for, like, telling my story. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it, and I bet that there are a whole bunch of 50-something women that you have just spoke for. So I thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see how Jane responds, because I may sign up for that waiting list myself now.
Right, right. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, I really don't. And I don't have enough time to save, because the cost of living is high.
Right.
You know, I have to maintain a car and to get to work and the insurance, and you know, and I'm living okay now, but I've got a pretty good job, but I'm not going to have when I, you know, when I can no longer work. And I, you know, like I say, I'm tired now. I don't know how much longer I can keep it up. I'm 65.
Now, don't you think it's odd that we are talking about working through 70s, when I remember growing up that, you know, 55 was it. You were like old, you went home, you retired.
Oh, right, right.
It was like, and actually 55 was late, because it was 52 was when you actually
could
officially retire, right? But so
definitely.
Times have changed. But thank you again for your call, and I'm going to see what Jean has to share with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly encourage the caller to look at what housing options she has and get onto the waiting list. The housing authority for Multnomah County is Home Forward, and they have very long waiting lists. I think they have more than 2,000 people on their waiting list, but the waiting list opens periodically and people come into the housing. So I would encourage the caller to get onto the waiting list. It is a kind of a game, because to be considered, you have to be eligible for the housing. And so she can get onto the waiting list now, but if her time would come up, she would have to be eligible to be a low-income person, not a person who's working, right at that time, or she'd go to the end of the waiting list again. So she needs to kind of time that carefully. But almost all of the affordable housing that is available has waiting lists for it now. So I would really encourage the caller to time when she's going to be leaving the workforce and get herself onto the waiting list, so that she's paying about one-third of her income. I mean, what we would recommend is she should be paying about $300 in rent if her overall income is going to be $1,000, to ensure that she has enough money to be able to have food for herself, have medicine for herself, pay for the other things that she has to, transportation, to pay for those costs.
Excellent. We have another caller on the line. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, howdy. I'm a semi-retired, rather forcibly by the recession, architect, and I've lived and worked all over the world, and unlike a lot of my peers, I've always wanted to do stuff for poorer people. You know, everybody wants to build these huge tower blocks, which have always revolted me aesthetically as well. And I actually got an award for some houses I built for the, you know, for poor people, especially miners in Appalachia. But it's all part of a cycle of in the U.S. Like, it's a human right, like healthcare and education, and it's all under attack.
Yes.
But there is some hope. My daughter lives in Madison, Wisconsin. She's a chef, and last year they just opened a village of tiny houses for the homeless. You can go to hostmadison.com it was pushed along by Occupy Madison. You might want to have a look at that, because you look at all the gap sites and parking lots that are dotted around Portland, and they could be, you know, they're just sitting there doing what, maybe somebody paying taxes on them. And I would love to get involved. I designed a low-income housing development at the coast here in Manzanita, which is desperately needed, because housing is really hard.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people on the Planning Commission, which, of course, is made up of the elites in the area, just didn't get it. You know, one of them, who is now the mayor of Manzanita, said, well, where are they going to keep their own RVs? And, you know, there's a mentality in the U.S. that just doesn't get it, and unfortunately,
so excuse me, so we can barely. Where your voice is coming across garbled. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or if you're.
No, I'm on my landline.
Oh, are you maybe close to the radio? Oh, you just clear it up like in that second.
Well, I was leaning forward. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. Okay,
I
you sound much.
My accent's got worse than usual.
No, no, your accent is fine. It was just a crackly that we could barely hear.
Anyway, it's a great. This is a great circle of the class war in the USA, like health, you know,
yes,
healthcare, free public education, you know, housing. I mean, basic human rights that people in the third world have.
Right.
You know, so I don't know until I don't know what it's going to take to change it, because the attitudes are capitalism good, capitalism equals freedom.
So you're starting to break up again, sir. So
yeah, you know, okay, I'll let you go, but you know what, you get my point.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with the phone line, but that was a bit crackly. But clearly, here's a gentleman who's been very interested and involved in developing projects and has a bit of frustration at that things aren't moving well.
Yeah, and I think in particularly in the area of the coast, where we know that a lot of the people who work there are service workers, they're working in restaurants, they're working in motels, and that's the industry that's driving the economy at the coast. I think we need to look at ensuring, first of all, that people in the service industry are getting fair wages, and then secondly, that as the caller says, that we build enough affordable housing that they can live in a safe, decent place to live and raise their families while they are working either in motels or in restaurants, and while they're kind of looking for what it is that they want to do. But there is not enough affordable housing at the coast by any means for the large number of low-income families and households that live there. And I think if you kind of look behind the storefronts, the motel fronts at the coast, you're seeing a lot of low-income housing that's kind of down a road that's not marked and is not always up to the standards that housing should be.
Excellent. And you may want to know what's coming up on the Boo at 9, Teresa Mitchell for Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 is Eric Cascadia, headlines, commentary, and interviews with host Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoint, a mini-documentary on the Caravan for Justice, remembering the dead and missing children who were captured and slaughtered in Mexico last fall. Also, at part 4 in the Flashpoint special series, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century, with a look at major funders of corporatized education and how they profit. Thank you, KBOO members, for your community radio support. If you are not a current member, you can become one quickly by going to kboo.fm, clicking the Donate Today button, and becoming a member that way. In addition, I want to make sure that you know that this evening will be the second Community Oversight Advisory Board meeting. Actually, this will be the first quarterly meeting. Never mind. Don't worry about that. But the Community Oversight Advisory Board, which is responsible for oversight of the settlement agreement with Portland Police Bureau and the City of Portland and the Department of Justice, meets this evening starting at 5:30 at Montevilla United Methodist Church, located at 232 Southeast 80th Avenue. You may have heard Judge Paul DeMunez resign as the COCL, Community Oversight Community Liaison, Community Outreach Person, and so he will no longer be involved in this effort. That information is available on my Facebook page, and I will post it at the end of this program. We have one more caller on the line. We're going to try to squeak in. I'm sorry. Who was that? Brooke. Good morning, Brooke. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
I had to call in because this whole topic is one very close to my heart, having just been through the whole process of finding affordable housing for a senior. And I did work until I was 75 or maybe a little more than 75 because I knew what was coming along, that I, you know, wouldn't have much retirement income.
Right.
And I would need affordable housing, but I searched and searched and searched and got my names on lists. It's a very confusing process to even find the lists and to apply, and the rules for applying at different places are all different, and you have to provide all kinds of background and financial information up front to even be on a list in some cases. And so, and then you're lucky if something opens up. And
excuse me, ma'am, I am so, so sorry, but we are at the end of the program, and I have three seconds.
Never mind.
No, I appreciate you calling. Did you get help?
I'm sorry. I didn't think you were so close to the end.
Yes, we are. We are
all
at.
Right.
Did you get help?
Thank you.
Did you get help?
Okay.
Did you get help? I guess we won't know. I am what? So. Were you helped?
I finally found what's called affordable housing, but it takes half of your income and not just the 30%.
Well,
and that's happening all over. And the housing problem is caused by public policy and speculation.
Ma'am, we're going to end on that note. Thank you so much for the call. You've been listening to Voices from the Edge. Thank you so much, Jean Damascus.
Thank you.
See you all next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a great day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Join us for Air Cascadia in 1 hour from now. It's headlines, commentary, and interviews with host Chris Andre. Then at 10:15, we'll have Flashpoints on the air. At 11 o'clock, join us for Between the Covers. Today, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Cece Bell about El Defo, her memoir graphic novel about her loss of hearing at a young age. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, Sam Marks previews Portland's newly expanded Linework Northwest Comics and Illustration Festival. Then DIY magic author Anthony Alvarado has practical advice for listeners who want to unlock the powers of their imagination. That is all coming up after we hear from Teresa Mitchell. She is on next with Press Watch. It's the news you're not supposed to know. And that is next on KBOO.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary. Susan Griffin is an internationally celebrated writer who will speak on the false divisions our culture makes between body and soul, masculine and feminine, self and other, that allow us to hide from our own knowledge.